thanks for listening in to swimbetterhq.com podcast today. We're talking with Robert Hamilton from Glasgow, and Robert is the main man behind Discover Open Water Swimming. How are you going, Robert?
Yeah, not bad. Thank you.
That's the way. So tell me a bit about yourself, Robert. What's your history in swimming?
My history in swimming was I swam up to the year that David Wilkie won his gold medal and quit just down to the pressures of school. And I got back into it when I was about 22 doing triathlons. Back in that would be the early 90s when nobody really knew what triathlon was, and then progressed on there to become a swimming teacher.
Okay.
Did a couple of diplomas, both at college and university, and during that time became a swimming coach. And that's now 25 years plus I've been involved in swimming.
Wow.
In all aspects, from learning to swim right through to I had three swimmers at Olympic trials in 2000, all butterfly swimmers.
Yeah, right. So you've definitely been around for a while then.
Yeah, thanks for that, yeah.
Yeah. So what are you currently doing now? Open water swimming, is that right?
Yeah, so we still run a Learn to Swim program. We've got about 350 children a week just now that come into that program. Just in conventional, what would be run of the mill, learn to swim, put your face to water and blow bubbles, and elementary stroke development. And for the last 7 years, I've pretty much put a lot of focus in towards open water swimming, which we've seen an expansive growth over here over the last 4 years. Again, something that nobody really kind of get into over here just because the water temperature is that much colder. But we've seen massive growth, and we've just now taken advantage of that and developed a training and events company, and also a crew support company as well within that, that helps swimmers come across the length of Loch Lomond, Loch Ness. And I was over in Ireland last week taking some across the Irish Sea.
Right, so you more or less, you're taking on not just training people for open water swimming, but the whole aspect of it. So the whole, from more or less running events right through to the, you know, the safety aspect of the events and swimming, having a boat, I'm assuming, beside them during their event, or?
Yeah, so the way that we would like to present the company is, we have a training facility. We've got two training facilities that we use on either side of Glasgow. And you come there for training, whether you're doing a triathlon, an open water swimming event, or you just want to get into the sport because it's something your friends are doing. And then we provide swim events for them from 1K right through to 12.5K. Again, just promoting a degree of achievement for them as individuals, but also then it gives people an idea of the kind of things that they want to move forward with in terms of distance as well. And then we also provide a support mechanism for people who want to swim longer distances, and we'll provide a crew, a boat, a power boat, and a skipper. And they all take to deal with every aspect of that. We just we had somebody on Friday daytime there that swam Loch Lomond in 11 hours and 34 minutes. And then we had two midnight swimmers that went through Loch Lomond on Saturday into Sunday as well.
Right.
So we're kind of providing a whole series of support mechanisms for development of open water swimming coaching. And we also then take to deal with the risk assessments around. I happen to be a national trainer for water safety management programming, which is a certificate for people who want to take on activities in, on, or around the water's edge. And that provides people with understanding how to put risk assessments. So we're also training up other people.
Right.
Because the sport's growing so quickly.
Okay. So I assume, you know, that people don't just, do they do them in these, like these longer distance swims, they'd obviously do by themselves, but you're running enticer type programs where two or three people will go out at once, or, you know, how does someone sort of lead into it? Do they just come and do a 1K, or Or can they actually train and then go out and do their full ocean water or open water swim? Or how does someone actually come up through the ranks?
What you are finding is that people are exploring longer distances as they get into it. So we've got one girl just now who couldn't swim much more than a couple of strokes 2 years ago, and she's been coming regular where she can then promote her, progress through distances, and she's now swimming 5.5K.
Oh, that's
She's
awesome.
only able to come maybe once or twice a week,
Yeah,
so
right.
she's looking to do the length of a loch at some point in the future. And we vary the distances so that people feel as if they can achieve any distance that they want to achieve, and it's down to them aspiring to achieve a longer distance, and we would just support that mechanism for them. And then the guy that we had on Friday there, we swam the 11:34, was an ex-competitive swimmer, and I took him for an hour's session, redesigned his stroke within that hour, and that was about 4 months ago, and he's now just swam 21 miles. So we're getting quite a lot of different types of people. We had an ex-international footballer whose father was very high up in the recognition of Scottish football. His son came to me and couldn't put six strokes together. Within 2 months, he swam 5K and did his first Ironman event.
That's amazing. That's awesome. So you touched on redesigning their strokes. So what is the difference between someone that's, say, for example, a distance pool swimmer that can do, your 1500s, and actually going out and changing their technique and stroke to tackle something like a 5K or beyond?
The thing that's I actually did I stopped coaching swimming from a competitive field in 2004. The thing that I found was having had so many swimmers coming through me, that there was sometimes it was quite prone to injuries, especially in the upper shoulder section.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So yeah, and if it wasn't a front crawl or back crawl, it'd be a breaststroke that would have an issue through their knees. And I became quite focused on how can we achieve a longer distance, or how can we achieve swimming without having injuries associated to it. And I did a diploma in 2004 with the principles of the Alexander Technique, which is an Australian program of head neck back relationship. And I found that to be really, really useful at the beginning. However, in the last 4 years, I became a total immersion swimming coach. And the difference between a competitive swimmer and a total immersion swimmer is the movement comes away from the actual rotation of the shoulder and comes out the line of the shoulder, which means then that they've got a better placement of their hands, but also it takes the pressure off the shoulder as well and stops it potentially causing injury to the upper arm.
I mean, I must admit that's pretty interesting, because you do hear, like, it's seems to be par for the course for swimmers to get bad shoulders, and the worst part is the higher they go into swimming, the more and more you see it.
Correct.
So,
Yes.
you most kids, if they can make it to Olympic level, have got shoulder problems, or as you said, breaststroke knee problems. And unless you're extremely lucky, Michael Phelps, it's hard to keep going once you start to get that injury.
No, I would agree with you, and I think the thing that you find with the distance swimmers is because of the distance that they're traveling over the course of a week or 2 weeks, they might be doing 50, 60, 70,000 meters over a 2 week period, depending on where they are within their training. And to be able to do 21 miles and not to receive any type of injury is quite, it has to be mentally fixed first of all, but then also physically, the articulation around the joints have to be correct the whole way through, otherwise they're going to be in severe pain for quite a long time after.
Yeah, so on that as well, with the mental training, what do you do to train someone and prepare someone mentally to swim, 21 miles or a distance of that length? Like, is it, do you have to do a bit of psychological training with them, or?
Yeah, I think the thing that we do is because we've got a craft right next to the person, the one thing that I say to them is what I want you to do is I want you to focus on me, focus on what I'm doing on the boat, because that makes them drift away and they'll see me moving about the boat, whether that's me taking a stroke count, because we do a stroke count every 20 minutes. And obviously, because they're in water, over here it's maybe a wee bit different back home, but over here, our water temperature at the moment is on average about 15 degrees. So there's a really good chance of hypothermia,
Yeah, of course.
very high chance of hypothermia. So by focusing on what I'm doing on the boat, whether it's me taking a stroke count, possibly taking some pictures and videos of what they're doing, or in preparation of them being fed again. And they'll be fed every hour, 45 minutes or every 30 minutes, all the way through the swim. So it kind of gives them a mental drift that every time that they breathe, they see me what I'm doing, and it kind of helps then detract them from the fact that they're going to be in the water. Because the girl that swam the Irish Channel was in the water for 13 hours, and the girl that swam Loch Ness, which was just 3 weeks ago, swam 18 hours.
And
And
she
mentally.
was the lady that swam Loch Ness. I did read an article on that. And was she a mother of two in her late 30s, was it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
That's
that was me that took her down the lock. Yeah.
unbelievable. And she swam the length of the lock.
Yeah, so that was 39K in 18 hours and
Wow.
22 minutes.
That's amazing. And did she, what was her background? Did she have a long history of swimming in her life?
Yeah, I've known Helen for quite a number of years now, and she started off as a competitive swimmer and never really fitted into that model, and then she progressed on to some events that are run by the governing body in Scotland for swimming, and she's quite a slow swimmer. Obviously, swimming 39K in 18 hours is quite, it's not slow, it's steady paced, I would call it, because each to their own when it comes to the distances. So she's swimming about 1.9 to 2.2 kilometres an hour. Relative to some of the other swimmers, it's a steadier pace. And when she was doing the events, she was always coming in last and felt disheartened, as you can imagine. Went on to do the English Channel, and has actually just finished Loch Lomond on Saturday, Sunday morning, yesterday. Recently started doing some of the national governing body swimming events. And felt disheartened because she was always coming in last because they were always the competitive swimmers. And then ended up on a swim camp because I'd end up conversation with Helen. Ended up on a swim camp and somebody suggested that she should go and do the English Channel, which she then did the following 3 months later. And
So
then
she's
has.
done the English Channel as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you just. I think the thing that you find is that these people are, there's something special about these people and how they approach things. And they almost have a goal every year. So the guy who swam Loch Lomond on Friday, I spoke to yesterday just to make sure he was okay and he was feeling fine. Because you can imagine being in the water in that position for the number of hours,
It
it
would
can
take a
play
big
havoc.
strain on your body, yeah, especially dehydration and exhaustion and everything like that, yeah.
So he went away yesterday morning and swam 100 lengths in the pool
Actually,
just to loosen off. So he's 21 miles, it's not long enough.
no.
So he was fine, but he's already saying, do you think I could do Loch Ness? So he would then progress on to doing that for next year. And the girl I took across the Irish Channel, she did Loch Lomond the year before, and the English Channel the year before that as well.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So really, you're finding that more and more people are looking for that more of a push, more of a challenge. Too many people have done the English Channel, and that's a bit passe. So everyone's trying
Yeah, well,
that bigger, better thing, or.
there's a thing called the Seven Oceans. There was a girl from Sweden, she was the first woman to have achieved it, and there was a guy from Ireland who was the first guy to achieve it. And it's swimming all over the world, in seven different parts and seven different oceans across the world. And what you're finding now is that within that market, there's a big drive for people to push forward to try and achieve that goal, is swim the seven oceans in the world. And what they're doing in the interim period of maybe going out 1 year and doing one of the oceans is then coming home or going out and looking to see if there's something else that they could do as a training preparation. And the fortunate thing that we've got up here is that the water's colder. It's fresh water's colder up here. So now what you're finding is that they're wanting to come up the Giro. I've got a phone call this afternoon from a girl in Sweden who wants to come and do Loch Lomond. And it's just simply to get cold water exposure. It's interesting times, and we can see that the growth of just the normal participation levels growing year on year. And I think that will grow and develop the kind of longer distance swimmers in the future as well.